This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to prepare mentally before confronting someone about their toxic traits. A clear mental framework for walking into a hard conversation ready. In short, after reading this, you will be able to prepare yourself mentally and practically before confronting someone about their toxic traits, so you walk in grounded, specific, and ready. Get clear on the exact behaviours before you set foot in the room. Use the strong method to build confidence and reduce anxiety. Run a conversation pre-mortem so nothing surprises you. Definition: confronting toxic traits means addressing someone's specific, recurring destructive behaviours directly and deliberately, with clear examples and a defined purpose, rather than avoiding the problem or hoping it resolves itself over time. You have watched it happen to someone. Maybe it has happened to you. A person has been derailing meetings, undermining colleagues, or shifting blame for months. Everyone sees it. Nobody says anything. Then one day, someone finally speaks up without preparing, and the conversation collapses into defensiveness, denial, and damage that takes weeks to undo. That is the cost of confronting toxic traits without a clear mental framework behind you. The problem is really a lack of courage. Most people know something needs to be said. The real struggle is the fog. What exactly do I say? What if they explode? What if I make things worse? Without a process, your mind fills that fog with fear, and fear makes you either too soft to be heard or too sharp to be trusted. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for confronting toxic traits that you can apply immediately, drawn from the frameworks I teach and Say It Right Every Time, specifically chapters 3 and 11. Why confronting toxic traits is harder than it looks. Knowing you need to have this conversation and actually being ready to have it are two entirely different things. The gap between them is where most people get stuck, and where the most damage quietly accumulates. Here is what makes confronting toxic traits so difficult in practice. The behaviour is often ambiguous. Manipulation, passive aggression, and chronic blame shifting rarely come with clear timestamps and clean evidence. When you try to articulate what has been happening, it can feel like smoke in your hands. You fear the reaction more than the conversation. The anticipatory anxiety of imagining an explosion, tears, or a complete denial can feel worse than the actual exchange. That fear is real, and it is enough to keep you silent for weeks. You worry about being wrong. What if you have misread the situation? What if you raise it, and they turn the table on you? That doubt is one of the most common reasons people abandon conversations before they start. You do not have a script or structure. Most people have never been taught how to confront destructive behaviour in a measured, specific way. They improvise, and improvisation under emotional pressure rarely goes well. The relationship feels at risk. Even if the relationship is already damaged by the toxic behaviour, raising it directly feels like you are the one holding the match near the fuse. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin working through the steps, there are three things that need to be clear. Without them, no framework will save you. Number 1. Specific, observable behaviour. You cannot confront a feeling or a vague impression. You need exact examples: what was said, what was done, when it happened, and who was affected. You have a bad attitude will get you nowhere. In Tuesday's meeting, you dismissed Sarah's proposal before she finished speaking, and then attributed her idea to yourself 20 minutes later is something you can work with. Number 2. Your intended outcome. Know what a successful conversation looks like before it begins. Are you asking for a specific change in behaviour? Are you setting a boundary that has consequences? Are you opening a conversation that will require several exchanges? If you do not know what you need from this conversation, you will wander into it and wander back out without resolution. Number 3. Your emotional state. If you are still furious, still hurt, or still processing the impact of what this person has done, you are not ready. Confronting toxic traits from a place of raw emotion almost always produces an exchange that feels satisfying in the moment and creates more damage than it resolves. Wait until you can be direct without being punishing. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Name the behavior precisely. This step is the difference between a conversation that produces change and one that produces defensiveness. Most confrontations about toxic traits fail before they begin because the person raising the issue uses language that is too vague to act on. You need to be able to state the specific behavior not the character judgment behind it. You are manipulative is a verdict. In three separate conversations this month, you presented information selectively to make me look uninformed in front of the senior team is a behaviour. One triggers a defence. The other invites a response. Write down the exact behaviour in one clear sentence, as if you were describing it to someone who is not in the room. Strip every emotion, word and character label from that sentence. Remove manipulative, toxic, dishonest, cruel. Replace vague words with specific actions not undermined me, but interrupted me mid-sentence and redirected the conversation. List at least two separate instances with dates or context so the pattern is clear. Read the sentence aloud. If it sounds like a prosecution rather than an observation, write it. Here is what this looks like in practice. Say you have a colleague who consistently takes credit for shared work. Instead of planning to say you always steal credit, you write. In the project debrief on the 14th, you presented the analysis to the director as your own work. We had built it together over 3 weeks. That happened again in the client call on the 21st. Now you have something grounded in fact that cannot easily be denied or reframed. After this step, you are no longer confronting a feeling. You are confronting a documented pattern. Step 2. Run a conversation pre-mortem. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduced the conversation pre-mortem in Chapter 3 as a tool to reduce anticipatory anxiety before difficult exchanges. The idea is straightforward. Instead of walking into the conversation hoping for the best, you imagine the worst, assess it honestly, and prepare for it. Most people's fear about confronting toxic traits is not about the confrontation itself. It is about the unknown outcomes. The pre-mortem drags those unknowns into the light. Write down the three most likely ways this conversation could go badly: denial, explosion, tearful deflection, counterattack. For each scenario, write one short sentence about how you'd respond if it happened. Assess honestly how likely is each worst case on a scale of 1 to 10. Identify the one outcome that would feel catastrophic and decide in advance whether you can live with it. Remind yourself that the discomfort of having this conversation is temporary. As I note in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time, the regret of avoiding it can last far longer. After the pre-mortem, the conversation still feels difficult, but it no longer feels unknown. That distinction changes how you carry yourself going in. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Apply the strong method. This is the pre-conversation, which I outline in Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time. It is a six-step sequence you run through immediately before the conversation, and it works specifically because it interrupts the amygdala hijack that tends to derail difficult exchanges before they find their footing. The strong method gives your mind a clear sequence to follow when anxiety tries to take the wheel. Here is what each step means in practice. State your intention. In one sentence, write down exactly what you want to achieve, not what you want to say. What you want to happen. Take a breath, physically, slow, deliberate. This is not a metaphor. It reduces cortisol and drops your heart rate before you open your mouth. Respect all perspectives. Remind yourself that this person has their own version of events. You do not have to agree with it. You do have to expect it. Offer specific examples. Return to the precise behaviours you named in step 1. Remind yourself those are your anchors. You stay with the facts. Navigate to solutions. Decide in advance what a workable change looks like. You are not here to condemn. You are here to resolve. Gain commitment to action. Know what you will ask for at the end of this conversation. A specific behaviour change, a follow-up conversation, a clear agreement. Here is a script for opening the conversation after completing the strong method. Thanks for making time for this. I want to be upfront. This is an important conversation for me, and I want to approach it with some care. I have been thinking about a few specific situations I would like to walk through with you, and I would appreciate the chance to hear your perspective on them. That opening is calm, direct, and signals that this is not an ambush. It gives the other person a moment to settle before the substance arrives. Step 4. Set your emotional boundary in advance. Before you walk into a room to confront destructive behaviour, you need to decide where your line is. not theoretically. Specifically, a boundary without enforcement is, as I put it in Say It Right Every Time, just a suggestion. If someone responds to your confrontation with explosive anger, manipulation, or an attempt to gaslight you about events you witnessed clearly, you need to know in advance what you will do. That decision cannot be made in the heat of the moment. Write down the one behaviour that would cause you to pause or end the conversation temporarily. Prepare a single sentence you will use if that moment comes. I want to continue this conversation, but I need us both to be calm to do that. Let us take 10 minutes and come back. Decide what you will not accept: raised voices, personal attacks, a redirection to your flaws before your concern has been addressed. Commit to staying on your specific examples if the conversation tries to drift into generalities or counter-accusations. Review how to address passive-aggressive behaviour that's silently eroding team synergy if you expect deflection rather than direct pushback. After this step, you carry your boundary with you. It is not something you reach for in a panic. It is already decided. Step 5. Choose the right medium and moment. Where and when you have this conversation matters as much as what you say in it. Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time includes a communication medium richness hierarchy that ranks conversation channels from richest to leanest in person first, then video call, then phone, then email, then text. The more difficult the conversation, the richer the medium you need. Confronting toxic traits over email or text gives the other person too much space to craft a denial or misrepresent your words. It removes tone, body language, and the human accountability of being in the same room. Choose in person if at all possible. If that is not available, use a video call. Set the meeting at a time when neither of you is rushing to another commitment. Give the conversation room to breathe. Avoid end-of-day conversations when both parties are depleted. Mid-morning is usually the strongest window. Do not ambush. Tell the other person you need to discuss something important and set a dedicated time. If you anticipate gaslighting, keep a written record of key events before the conversation so you have an anchor to reality when the conversation begins. Here is what setting up the meeting sounds like. I would like some time with you this week to talk through something I have been thinking about. It is a conversation I want to approach carefully, so I would rather not rush it. Could we carve out 30 minutes on Thursday morning? That request signals seriousness without alarm. It gives the other person time to prepare, which reduces the chance of a purely reactive response. Step 6. Prepare for denial and deflection. Toxic traits almost never come with easier acceptance when confronted. People whose patterns include manipulation, blame shifting, or chronic deflection tend to apply the same patterns when their behaviour is raised directly. You need to be ready for that. This is not cynicism. It is preparation. You are not expecting the worst. You are not being surprised by it. Anticipate 3 common deflection tactics: denial that never happened, reversal you do the same thing, and minimization you're being too sensitive. Prepare a short, neutral response for each one that returns you to your specific examples. If denial is the response, you might say, "I understand we see this differently. What I can speak to is what I observed on those specific occasions." Do not match explosive anger with anger. As I write in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time, anger feeds on anger. When you refuse to provide fuel, the fire eventually burns out. Read scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy for additional language you can adapt to your specific situation. After you have prepared for the deflections, you are no longer afraid of them. They become predictable moves in a game you have already studied. Step 7. Know what happens after the conversation. Most people put all their mental energy into the conversation itself and none into what comes after it. This is a mistake. The moment the exchange ends is when your preparation matters most. If the conversation goes well, you need to lock in any agreements immediately while they are fresh. If it goes badly, you need a recovery plan so you do not spiral into regret or avoidance. Write down what you will say to close the conversation, regardless of how it goes. I appreciate you hearing this. I would like us to agree on a next step, even a small one. If the conversation produces no resolution, decide in advance when you will raise it again and how. If the conversation goes seriously wrong, use the recover method from Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time. Recognize what went wrong, end if needed, cool down, own your part, validate their experience, explain your intent, recommit to the relationship. Document any agreements made, even informally, with a follow-up message. Just to confirm what we agreed, you will let me know by Friday if you can make the change we discussed. If you need to start a difficult conversation, that is blocking your team's synergy as a follow-on step, plan that conversation before this one ends. The conversation is not the finish line. It is the beginning of a behavioral change that you now need to track and hold. Adapting this process for high-conflict personalities. Some people whose toxic traits you need to confront are not simply unaware. They are entrenched. They have used manipulation, gaslighting, or explosive anger as tools for a long time, and they are skilled with them. In these situations, the standard preparation needs adjustment. Double your documentation. Before the conversation, write down specific events with dates, exact words used, and who else was present. A high-conflict person will attempt to rewrite history. Your written record is your anchor. Keep it with you. Shorten your opening. With a high-conflict personality, a long preamble gives them time to build a counter-narrative before you've made your point. State your concern and your first specific example within the first three sentences. Lower your outcome expectation for round one. You are unlikely to get full acknowledgement or a genuine commitment to change in a single conversation. Prepare yourself to count the conversation as a success if the issue is on the table and the other person knows you will not drop it. Plan your exit clearly. Know exactly what you will say if the conversation becomes abusive or circular. I can see we are not going to resolve this today. I am going to step away, and we can continue where we are both in a better place to hear each other. Then leave. You can also review why avoiding difficult conversations is the hidden enemy of team synergy to remind yourself why staying silent is never the safer option. The core process holds. With a high conflict person, you simply need more structure, tighter language, and a clearer boundary. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake, going in without specific examples, relying on general impressions instead. Why it happens. It feels less aggressive to speak broadly, and gathering specific examples takes effort. What to do instead? Write down at least two concrete instances before the conversation. No examples, no conversation. The mistake. Having the conversation when you are still emotionally raw. Why it happens. The moment of frustration feels like the right moment. It rarely is. What to do instead? Wait until you can state the behavior without your voice tightening. Angry delivery turns a valid concern into a personal attack. The mistake. Focusing on a person's character instead of their behavior. Why it happens. When someone has hurt people around them, the temptation is to name what they are, not what they did. What to do instead? Stay with actions and their impact. When you do X, the effect is Y is always more productive than you are the kind of person who does X. The mistake. Accepting a deflection and dropping the original concern. Why it happens. When someone shifts the conversation to your flaws, the pressure to defend yourself feels urgent. What to do instead? Acknowledge the point briefly and return. That is worth discussing separately. Right now, I need to finish what I raised. You can also use I statements in team conversations to keep the focus grounded in your own experience rather than accusations. The mistake. Ending the conversation without a clear next step. Why it happens. Once the hardest part is over, there's relief and a desire to wrap up quickly. What to do instead? Before you close, name one specific action either of you will take and put a time frame on it. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each conversation about toxic traits. I have identified the specific, observable behavior I'm raising, not a general impression. I have at least two concrete examples with context I can describe clearly. I have removed all character labels and emotion words from my prepared language. I have completed the strong method pre-conversation ritual. I have run a conversation pre-mortem and prepared a response for each likely scenario. I know what outcome would count as success for this conversation. I have chosen an appropriate medium and a time when neither of us is rushed. I have decided in advance what behavior would cause me to pause or end the conversation. I have prepared my closing statement and my request for a next step. I am in a state where I can be direct without being punishing. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a complete preparation process for confronting toxic traits, one that moves you from vague frustration to grounded, specific, and ready. You are no longer walking in hoping for the best. You are walking in having prepared for the reality. Name the exact behavior, not the character behind it. Two specific examples minimum. Run the conversation pre-mortem to remove the fear of the unknown. Use the straw method immediately before the conversation to steady your mindset and focus your intention. Set your emotional boundaries in advance so you are never deciding in the heat of the moment. Choose the right medium and the right moment. Richest channel available. Unrushed timing. Prepare for deflection and denial. They are predictable. Predictable is manageable. Know what happens after. Lock in agreements. Have a recovery plan ready if the conversation breaks down. Your next steps are practical ones. Start by drafting your specific examples for the conversation you need to have. Then work through how to deliver a neutral problem statement that stops team conflict before it destroys synergy, so you know how to open without triggering an immediate shutdown. If you want the complete framework behind what I have shared here, everything from the strong method to the recover method to full scripts for gaslighting and explosive anger, is in Say It Right Every Time. And if you are dealing with a team-wide pattern rather than a single individual, read how to use the deal method to resolve conflict at our fracturing team synergy for a broader resolution approach. Confronting toxic traits is one of the hardest things you will do in any professional relationship, but the conversation you prepare for is the one you survive. Frequently asked questions. What does confronting toxic traits actually mean? Confronting toxic traits means addressing someone's specific, recurring destructive behaviors directly and deliberately, with clear examples and a defined purpose, rather than avoiding the problem or hoping it resolves itself over time. It is not an attack on their character. It is a structured conversation about specific behavior and its impact. How do you prepare mentally before confronting toxic traits in someone? Start by getting clear on exactly which behaviors concern you and gathering specific examples. Then use a pre-conversation ritual like the strong method to steady your mindset. Run a conversation pre-mortem to anticipate how the discussion might go and decide in advance what outcome you need from it. Is it worth confronting someone about their toxic traits? Yes, if you do it with preparation and a clear purpose. Avoiding the conversation does not make the behavior stop. As I cover in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time, the discomfort of having the conversation is temporary, but the damage caused by avoidance can be permanent and wide-reaching. What should you say when confronting toxic traits at work? Lead with a specific, observable behavior rather than a character judgment. Say what happened, when it happened, and what impact it had. Scripts like those in Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time help you stay grounded and direct without triggering a defensive shutdown in the other person. How do you stay calm when confronting someone about toxic behavior? Preparation is the foundation of calm. When you have rehearsed your key points, run your pre-mortem, and set your intention clearly, your nervous system has less to panic about. The strong method is a 6-step pre-conversation ritual designed specifically to reduce anxiety and keep you present in the room. What are the signs that you are not ready to confront toxic traits? You are not ready if you cannot name the specific behavior without using vague words like attitude or energy. You're also not ready if your goal is to punish rather than resolve, or if you have not yet decided what outcome would count as success for this conversation. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.